Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now to talk about all that, HoopsCritic.com, at HoopsCritic on Twitter. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, how we doing tonight, buddy?
Shawnee baby, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Geltz. So, biggest surprise for you so far this weekend?
Milwaukee Bucks. I thought that not only the fact that they won the game, the decisive fashion that they did it in. To be able to do not only defensively what they did to Larry and DeRozan and make life hard on those two, but the way that they exploited Dwayne Casey going with that extra small lineup. You know, Casey always likes to play Joseph along with Larry and DeRozan. And, man, Milwaukee kept finding the mouse in the house. They were going in the post to Brogdon. They were going in the post to Middleton. They were going in the post to Antetokounmpo. And they punished them very, very badly for that. And really, Milwaukee looked like the dominant team. And that could be a fluke in the series. Toronto Raptors are very good. But the way they dominated them in their own building and really exploited them on both ends was a little bit shocking to me. I was really impressed. Milwaukee looked like, certainly the better coach team, but played like a team that has been there before. And really, this is very new for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, no, very composed, no question about that. Geltz, a team we've been talking about a lot tonight on the show is the Washington Wizards, and they got the winning game one today against Atlanta. Your thoughts on the Wizards as this Eastern Conference kind of stacks up and unfolds for them? You know, sitting at the four seed, maybe a great spot for them considering Cleveland fell to the two. Just, I guess, speak to the opportunity that Washington is looking at right now in the Eastern Conference, and how important is this postseason for John Wall?
I think it's very important for John Wall. One of the things that people forget very quickly about the Wizards, because they were not in the playoffs last year, was that the 2 years prior, they advanced around both of those years. And if John Wall didn't hurt a wrist, they probably beat Atlanta and go to the conference finals 2 years ago. So this is a team that has, with Wall and Beal and Gortat, they've been there before. You add Porter in, you add Marquise Morris, played very well today and really gotten Paul Millsap's grill and Paul Millsap's head in many ways today. And this, all of a sudden, you got a bench here. Oubre played very well. Bogdanovich has been an excellent addition. So you look at the Wizards, and there's a great opportunity for them, because the reality is the Celtics are probably one of the weaker number one seeds we've seen in the last decade or so in the Eastern Conference. They're not a strong number one seed at all. So for the Wizards to draw the four, if they can take care of Atlanta, and they got a realistic shot in the next round, and maybe that's Boston, or who knows, maybe that's Chicago with what happened just now with that game that ended. But nonetheless, the Wizards are going to have a chance here. And listen, if you're the Wizards and you can get to a conference final, and maybe it's the Cavs and maybe it's not, whatever you can do, I agree with you. This is a unique opportunity for this Washington Wizards team. And they're a team that's up to the task. And listen, John Wall has put himself on the map as one of the best point guards in the golden age of the point guard in the NBA, with guys like Westbrook and Curry and Paul and Lillard, and you can keep going with the names, Lowry. John Wall puts himself right there with all those guys, certainly with the way he played today, but with a big-time playoff performance and taking them to a conference final, those names I just said, John Wall gets in that conversation with those guys. Irving, another one. He's probably in it already, but he really makes himself quite prominent with a degree of playoff success there. And really, if you look at how he's grown over the last 2 years, he's become a tremendous, tremendous player. And in a league where you have kind of the death of the pure point guard, Shawnee, this is a guy that kind of personifies that whole, I'm going to be the primary distributor, push the tempo, and take care of the ball. He really is in an age of the dying pure point guard, he is a pure point guard.
Yeah, agreed. Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, at HoopsCritic on Twitter, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. So, Geltz, after the game yesterday between the Cavaliers and the Pacers, LeBron did his post-game interview there on the court, and he kind of shrugged and smiled and said, hey, a win's a win, we're up 1-0, and I guess technically he's right, but you and I have talked plenty about the Cavaliers and their issues down the stretch and their inability to hit whatever this mythical switch is that people have talked about. Do you think LeBron's concern maybe runs a little deeper than he was letting on in that interview?
No, listen, one thing LeBron understands for all the playoff success he's experienced in his career is that there's no such thing as style points. You know what I mean? Like, you won a game and you got to win. Now, you can look at it two ways for the Cavaliers. Okay, their defense is not good. We know that. But they shot 53% from the field. They shot 39% from three. And it took a C.J. Miles missed perimeter shot at the buzzer to get them to win. The flip side is that they were 14 of 27 from the free throw line and managed to still win the game. And granted, it's at home, but to shoot barely 50% from the free throw line on a good amount of attempts and still win the game is something. Listen, the way I looked at this series with Indy, and it kind of played out this way, is I think we're going to get competitive games, but it won't be a competitive series. I don't know if it'll ever be in question for Cleveland. But I will also say this, Cleveland, especially in the first half, played a major up-tempo game, and that's fool's gold for them in the end, because it'll certainly hurt them if they make the finals, but even it'll hurt them in the short term against a team like the Wizards with young athletic guards or even a team like the Raptors. I think for the Cavs, they're going to have to play to their strengths, and that's the Thompson and Love and LeBron, and be able to bang people inside and get on the offensive glass, and the speed game for them, they're a weak defensive team. For a weak defensive team, the more you open the floor, the more strain you put on a defense that can't really afford to have strain on it. And I think tempo, where last year was important for the Cavs, and they played a very fast tempo, took a lot of threes to get out of the Eastern Conference, got down 3-1 in the NBA Finals, and slowed the tempo down to end up winning three in a row against the Warriors, including in Game 7 on the road. It was important to them last year, but they could get away earlier without slowing the tempo. I don't think this team can. And I think that this whole it's more fun to shoot a lot of threes and play fast. That's great, but that's not going to be conducive to them going to the finals, and certainly not conducive to them winning the finals.
Geltz, if you had asked me to list maybe five indispensable players before the playoffs, I might have had Rudy Gobert for the Jazz on that list because of what he brings to that team defensively. They steal that game last night in L.A. Is that just maybe them kind of rallying the troops for that one game if Gobert's not going to be able to come back for the series? The impact on that series, but if they're able to steal the series, what's the impact on the Clippers long term?
Well, all right, let's start with the Jazz here first, because I think one thing you have to recognize about Jazz, and I had an argument with my radio partner this morning on my show, Mitch Lawrence, about this because he didn't agree with me. One of the things I think you saw last night where you don't want to lose Rudy Gobert. To me, he's Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. But your value of replacement players, high. Derek Favors, a backup center there. They like to play four perimeter guys, Hayward, Johnson, Hood. You know, they want to play, a lot of perimeter with a point guard and play one guy in the middle. Well, Gobert's been that guy. When he's out, Derek Favors is a really good player. So and he can play both ends. He's not the defender Gobert is, but he's a very good defender in his own right. So last night, Favors, 15.6 boards, played an excellent game for them. So I think the Jazz can certainly stay in this series, potentially win this series without Rudy Gobert. I really do. And I picked the Clippers in seven at the beginning of the series. I'm not jumping off that. But when the Clippers are feeling an immense amount of pressure. I mean, Doc Rivers snapping at a reporter after the game absolutely personifies that. And for the Clippers, this is once again a case of Doc Rivers, the GM, failing Doc Rivers, the coach. Last night, you get a big game out of Paul. You get a decent game out of Griffin. You get a good game out of Jordan. You get nothing from anybody else. Nothing. And here's the position they're in. And you could say it's enviable and unenviable. They're hurting not having Austin Rivers. They need another perimeter guy, another guy that can kind of be a decent wing for them, and a guy that can be a secondary ball handler and defend people a little bit. You know, Bam Mute is a guy that, he can shoot it a little bit. He just doesn't take enough shots to be a threat at all, and it really hurts J.J. Redick on the other side. So, to me, if they don't get anything beyond this big three, they could be in trouble. And listen, for Doc, a lot of rumors about him looking potentially at the Orlando job and going taking over that organization, not necessarily to be a head coach, but to be the organization architect. You certainly could see something there. This could be the end of this run.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.